welcome to the Cake and Chasin' Podcast, a once a weekish update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the soulless suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hi, friends. As usual, I am a day or a week late and a dollar short with the podcast. It has been very busy for me here at the work and at side hustle work, and I appreciate how patient you are. First up, Thursday was my dad's birthday, and I always like to celebrate how he would. Pre-COVID, Ben and I would often take the day off and go for a drive out in the country, stop somewhere for apple cider donuts and coffee, and then somewhere for lunch, and then be home for pepperoni pizza and orange soda for supper. But this year, we both had to work. But my father had a very good work ethic, so he would have appreciated that we were working. Anyway, we did have pepperoni pizza and orange soda for supper and chocolate peanut butter bundt cake for dessert. I spend a lot of time, not just around his birthday or around the day he parted this mortal coil, wondering what he'd think about how the world is now. I think he would be very much an anti-Trump guy, at least I hope he would. After working almost his whole life for old money, he was just not a fan of the obnoxiousness and the entitlement of new money. And as an employer who almost exclusively hired people of color who were in recovery, Dad's vote was probably not one that Trump would have wanted anyway. But if the last 8 or so years have taught us anything, it's that you really never know how people are going to react to the return of first creeping and then blatant authoritarianism, violence against marginalized people, attack on Ivy League schools, despite many of those attackers having benefited from Ivy League educations. And Dad was a creature of habit who enjoyed his alone time for sure, but he also really loved his coffee dates. And I'm not sure he would have managed the lockdowns of some of his favorite places during COVID. But there's one thing that I know for sure, and that is that my father would have absolutely, positively wanted me and Alex to have an Ocean State job lot here in Northern Virginia. In other news, I did some community service up by the vet's office on Tuesday. I read one of my favorite children's books to about 30 kids and their parental types, and that was lots and lots of fun. Although it occurs to me that none of us were masked, and it is now more than 4 days after, and I haven't gotten sick. So is it possible that I am invincible? I know I've probably jinxed myself, but I am just shocked. Anyway, I'm sure that it didn't hurt my popularity there that I brought my bestie from the animal hospital, Caitlin, and she brought over a tiny Siamese kitten named Mocha because I was reading a book about a cat on a farm and all of her farm friends, and that book is called This and That, and I highly recommend it. But they have invited me and our chief medical officer, also known as our vet, Dr. Smith, for April to do an Earth Day reading and a craft. And I'm thinking that I might dress up in my bumblebee mascot costume, which is like a professional mascot costume, not like sexy bumblebee or anything ridiculous, and let Dr. Smith read the book, and then we could make seed balls for all of our pollinator friends. And speaking of pollinators, this is the first week of the 2024 legislative session, and a lot of bills dropped, like over 1,000, and some more may sneak in, plus budget amendments. So that has been keeping me very busy looking at all of that nonsense. And as usual, there are some terrible bills, some okay bills, some decent bills, and as always, there are some really fucking making me silly crazy bills, and here's one. And that is a bill to make the European honeybee the Virginia state pollinator. Now look, no one knows better than I do how much work honeybees do, because I am a beekeeper. They not only professionally pollinate fruit trees and nut trees, although not so much in Virginia because we don't grow a ton of nuts here, but certainly lots and lots of apples and plums and pears and a few cherries and, you know, certainly lots of fruit trees. But they also pollinate fruit and vegetable crops on farms, and they provide honey, so they are a very beneficial insect. But honeybees are not the best pollinators, and they are not even a native insect to Virginia. Solitary wild bees like bumblebees and mason bees and orchard bees are much more efficient pollinators, and many of them are native to North America. So you know I will be weighing in on that. So last episode, I told you how much I'm loving that Trader Joe's brioche bread for French toast, and I will tell you that we've had it a few more times since then, and we might even have it again for dinner tonight. I'm still having trouble with anything that requires a lot of chewing because of my jaw, and French toast is kind of perfect because of the, if I make it the way I like it, it just sort of falls apart because of all the egg and the milk and the butter and the syrup. And since we're talking about things I love, I hope that you have been getting out and getting your Sumo citrus oranges. I have seen them at Trader Joe's and at Wegmans, and I have reports that they are pretty much everywhere else, but I really recommend the name brand ones. Make sure you're getting enough vitamin C in the winter and enough fiber after eating all of that French toast for dinner four times a week. That's a very good thing. It's also clementine season, but make sure you get actual clementines, which if they're real, they come from Spain because they were actually created by a Spanish monk. And they are seedless. Otherwise, they're just tangerines. I mean, the cuties and the halos are fine, but you seriously do not know whether you're actually getting clementines or tangerines or mandarins. And nothing chaps my hide more than getting a little bag of beautiful orange fruit and finding out they are sour and full of seeds. No one wants that. Okay, and speaking of seeds, I am so on a roll here with my transitions. Let me tell you about our new bird feeder. It is a Bird Buddy, and some of you may have heard of it. It's a Wi-Fi enabled bird feeder with a little camera in it, so it takes pictures, which they call postcards, of all the birds that come to visit, and then it sends those postcards to your phone. And you can check out other people's bird buddies. I actually follow one in Hawaii and get to see all the tropical birds. Both my brother-in-law and father-in-law have them too, so of course Ben had to have one. So far we have this one cardinal that hangs out all day long, and we call him the mayor. I'm kind of hoping our usual bird feeder birds, like the chickadees and the juncos and the titmouses and the robins and the mourning doves and that tiny but incredibly loud little wren that lives in the backyard and whoever else, I hope that they start to come by. But it's possible that the mayor is just being super territorial. This weekend, I think we're going to try to reposition the Bird Buddy and all the other bird feeders to make it more inviting. Yesterday, the mayor's wife managed to get a snack, and now and then some of those grubby house sparrows that live in the carport will turn up. But for the most part, it's just that cardinal. And what's funny is that on the Bird Buddy subreddit, cardinals is what everybody else is waiting for. Like, everybody is just like, I've been waiting for this guy for months. Like, dude, come to my house. It's just all cardinal all day long. And along the lines of seeds, all the seed catalogs are coming in. And of course, I'm getting all glassy-eyed about all of the things I want to start in the greenhouse. But honestly, I know I will never get anything started on time. Last year, I just made a great flower seed mix out of all of my seeds. I shook it up and I threw it out into the front yard and it was perfect. And I think I'm totally going to do that again. It was like zinnias and some herbs and some cosmos and just stuff that just grew all by itself. But I will share with you one of my favorite seed companies. And as usual, this is not sponsored or an ad. I just love it. And it is Hudson Valley Seed Company out of New York. And they have all of these great seeds. But what is truly spectacular about them is that they have a whole section of their seeds called art packs. And they are square seed packages, but they have artwork on them. So, you know, if it's the polar white zinnia, then there's an artist's rendition of a polar bear. You know, so they're just really beautiful. And so the packs themselves are kind of collectible, and you can open up the pack so that you can get the seeds out without tearing it. And you can also get a calendar of all of the art packs, and you can get, I think you can even get prints or something, but I just like the art packs. I think they make beautiful gifts, and their seeds are really lovely too. So I always like to get art packs from them. And I am also a big fan of Southern Exposure Seed Exchange, because they carry a lot of heirloom seeds that are well suited for warmer climates of Virginia, and they are a Virginia company. They're out in Madison. But I also buy my seeds from Pine Tree Garden Seeds and Kitchen Garden Seeds as well. When buying seeds, you really want to look at the price in relation to how much seed you're getting. And if you have friends that also garden, see about doing a seed swap, because with some things like, say, hot peppers or tomato seeds, you might get 50 or 100 seeds, but you don't necessarily need to try to germinate all 50 or 100 seeds unless that's how many plants you want. You might just try to germinate, you know, 10 or 15, so maybe you get 6 or 8 plants for your garden. And so then you can swap those leftover seeds with someone who bought another variety. Now, certainly you can do this. You can just grow, you know, 10 tomato plants and then swap 5 tomato plants with somebody else, but whatever. If you handle your seeds well, they certainly will keep for another season or more, but the older they get, you know, the less likely they are to germinate. I keep all of my seeds in photo boxes, which are these little 4x6 plastic boxes with a hinge lid. They're kind of, maybe they're like not even an inch thick, that you would put 4x6 photographs in, and then they slide into a much bigger box that has all these slots in it that's sort of like a briefcase. So I can hold a lot of seeds, and I can just pull out these plastic boxes and see exactly the seed packets that are in there. And if, you know, let's say if I have 5 different kinds of green beans, I just put all of them in one packet, and I know that's my green bean box. I'm always on the hunt for special seeds for plants that I never see at the garden centers. One year, Ben and I grew these beautiful soft yellow paste tomatoes called banana legs, and they were so prolific. And then we couldn't find the seeds anywhere. So now when I find things that I like, I get a few packets so I can save a packet for the next season just in case. Because, you know, you can't always save the seed from the fruit or the vegetable and hope that it will germinate. Sometimes it's sterile because, you know, of, you know, whatever. They don't want you to reuse your seed. They want you to buy it from them. Anyway, and also so that I can share, because those banana legs tomatoes were so awesome. I mean, they were just the best tomatoes. But they had a catastrophic failure 1 year of germination. And so it's taken a couple of years to build back their seed stocks. Anyway, but here's the thing. In the 16 years that we've been here, we have gone from having these insane tomato hauls at the beginning when we first got here to really having a lot of trouble growing tomatoes, because it is just too hot now, even at night, thanks to climate change. Because tomatoes like hot days and cool nights. And if you just don't get cool nights, then the tomato fruit just won't set. So now we just do tomatoes that we know will work out for us, that can handle the heat, which is mostly the cherry tomatoes and some of the yellow and orange tomatoes. And do more hot peppers, who they love the heat. That doesn't bother them. And lots of pole and bush beans, which grow great. And maybe we'll see what else we can grow this year. Maybe I'll try pumpkins again. We have a section of the back garden that used to be perennials, and I moved them all to the front garden. And then, of course, they were all ruined by the big dig last year. And we had been neglecting that area for a while. We need to put the fence back up. But I think I'd like to plant a bunch of flowers back there. I think you can't really go wrong with flowers. They don't mind the bad weather like tomatoes do. So are you all thinking about your gardens? Have the seed catalogs started to show up where you are, or are they just showing up where I am because it's, you know, because my daffodil greens are already 4 inches above ground because we've barely had a killing frost? So it's a busy time here, but I'm feeling pretty good about things. I'd probably be happier if it snowed, but I can't control the weather despite all my attempts. I'm still having trouble cranking out 2 chocolate cakes episodes, but please don't think that I've given up on that because I absolutely haven't. I just seem to have writer's block when it comes to some of those stories. I was hoping to have 1 every other week, but I think it's probably going to be more realistic to say that I'll have 1 a month until I get back fully into it. So maybe I can try to shoot to have 1 by the end of this month. I know it's a hard time of year for a lot of people. It's usually a very hard time of year for me, and I'm a little surprised that I'm doing as well as I am. I'm not sure what that's about, but maybe it's all the French toast and sumo citrus. As you know, because I tell you all the time, I am not a religious person, but I would say that I am a somewhat spiritual person, and I do believe that giving grace gets you grace, and when you put good out in the universe, you are more likely to get good back, just like when you put bad shit out into the universe. You should not be surprised when things don't go your way. But anyway, I have been using my morning commute to the office. I've been going in 1 or 2 days a week, which is only about 10 miles, but can be anywhere between 25 minutes to an hour because Northern Virginia, to do some light energy sending to folks who I know who are having struggles right now. And I invite you to do the same. It's sort of like what Ben's family would call a prayer list, and I just speak out the names of people who need a little extra something, and I include a wish, and it goes something like this. For Fred and his family, I wish for a good day, and that every day is a good day, and that every day they gain an hour until a day is the equivalent of a year, and that the Bengals win it all. For Mom, I wish she would find a friend who would be able to work around her issues so that Mom would not be so terribly lonely. For Brick, I wish a speedy recovery after his now 2nd knee surgery. For Kent, I wish he gets a decent meal in him and remembers how loved he is. And I just go on like that until I get to the office. And before I get out of the car, I close my grace saying by saying, I wish for myself a good day if there's any grace left in the universe. And I will admit on days when I am on the struggle bus, I will totally ask for that grace right up front. And if you have someone that you want on my universal wish list or whatever it should be called, you just send me a note and I'll add them. Okay? Okay. Now, how about some food holidays to get us through the next week? Today is the 13th of January, and it is Peach Melba Day. And if you are not aware of the origin story of Peach Melba, it's actually an escoffier dessert made in honor of a famous Australian singer whose stage name was Nellie Melba, which might explain why it is in January and not in July when peaches are in season in the U.S. And it's fresh peaches on vanilla ice cream with raspberry sauce. And you know, add a little toasted pound cake, and I think that would be pretty delicious. I mean, it's fine the way it is. It's pretty simple, even for a dessert from the late 1800s. Now, it's also Poetry Break Day, and if you're going to take a break for some poetry, may I recommend a little Thomas Hardy for winter? And this one is called The Darkling Thrush, and I think I can read it because it's not under copyright. I leant upon a coppice gate when frost was specter gray, and winter's dregs made desolate the weakening eye of day. The tangled vine stems scored the sky like strings of broken lyres, and all mankind that haunted nigh had sought their household fires. The landsharp's features seemed to be the century's corpse outlent, his crypt the cloudy canopy, the wind his death lament. The ancient pulse of German birth was shrunken hard and dry, and every spirit upon earth seemed fervored less his eye. At once a voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead, in a full-hearted evensong of joy illimited. An aged thrush, frail, gaunt, and small, in blast beruffled plume, had chosen thus to fling his soul upon the glowing gloom. And so little cause for carolings of such ecstatic sound was written on terrestrial things afar and nigh around. that I could think there trembled through his happy goodnight air some blessed hope whereof he knew that I was unaware. Tomorrow, the 14th of January, is Sunday Supper Day, and I am a big fan of Sunday Supper, especially when you spend it with your friends. When I was a wee babe, we would go to Sunday Supper at Grammy Cole and Auntie Ethel's in Hartford, and it was pot roast or spaghetti or maybe a ham. There would be little jars of blowing bubbles for me and Kath in the pantry, and when we got bored of blowing bubbles in the shadowed courtyard of the apartment building, maybe we'd visit Grammy's sister Belle upstairs. She had a piano and a bowl of hard candy. Tomorrow is also Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day, which is not my favorite sandwich, but that's okay because I don't have to like all the sandwiches in the world. And it is it's the start of National Mocktail Week and National Pizza Week, 2 weeks I can totally get on board with. In fact, my favorite mocktail is something I call Into the Volcano. It is a virgin Hawaiian Moscow Mule, pineapple juice, lime juice, and ginger beer. Delicious. And my favorite pizza is usually a nice greasy Greek pepperoni pizza from one of the pizza places on the shoreline in southeast Connecticut, or maybe a grilled pizza from Bob and Timmy's in Providence, although I am not sure that they're there anymore. And upon researching, I see that they are closed, reopened, closed, and then moved to San Antonio, Texas, which is a bummer. You know, the pizza here is not terrible, but I find the crust of the pizza here in Virginia just to be really dry. I like it greasier, oilier. And I never find that. Moving on. Monday, January 15th is National Bagel Day, and I do love bagels. Even bad bagels are good, but they are too difficult for me to eat these days. There's a place in Providence that had Kalamata olive cream cheese that was so perfect on a bagel, but I can never find it at any of the grocery stores here, although it can't really be hard to make, so maybe I'll just make it myself. Although I suspect it would go bad pretty fast, so I'd just make little batches of it. It's also fresh squeezed juice day, which with a bagel is a perfect little breakfast if you ask me. It's also National Strawberry Ice Cream Day, and I would say strawberry is tied for first place in my list of favorite ice creams, along with coffee ice cream. Oh, and speaking of ice cream, we got word that a new franchise is coming to town, and some of you may have heard of it because it's called Freddy's Steak Burgers and Custard. I'm excited for the cheese fries and the frozen custard, although it does not seem to be that I can get my favorite vanilla custard shake with a shot of espresso because they don't do coffee there, but I will survive. And finally, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And when I first came to Virginia, this day was a shared holiday with Lee Jackson Day, a shitty holiday, and I am using air quotes around holiday, and celebrating infamous traitors to the American experiment, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. It took some doing, but eventually that holiday was moved to the Friday before and then abolished altogether. I swear to dog, we are the only country that still celebrates, air quotes again, traitors to the Constitution and country as a matter of course. Just disgusting. Tuesday, the 16th of January, is International Fig Newton Day, and I find Fig Newtons to be an excellent grab-and-go snack for breakfast, if anyone is asking, and I think I've told people this like 4 or 5 times on this podcast already. It is also National Hot and Spicy Food Day, and you all know I am not a hot and spicy food person, and so you may have my share. I'll just keep on going with pizza. And for those of you who celebrate, it is also Appreciate a Dragon Day. Wednesday, the 17th, is Hot Buttered Rum Day. Yay for everyone who likes that. It is also estimated that right around this day, people have ditched their New Year's resolutions. How are you doing on yours? I think I am doing pretty well on mine. I got a call from a reporter at the Washington Post on Friday to talk about something having to do with work, and boy, did I make some noise. And I think it's safe to say that I am full-on ungovernable as well, so I'm doing great with mine. Thursday is Gourmet Coffee Day, and coffee is one of those things where I definitely do not like bad coffee. Despite not really being a coffee drinker, I can definitely tell what a bad coffee is because I had one this week, and man, I am still griping about it. And I'm not a big fan of flavored coffee, but now and then when we're traveling or we're out to dinner or something, I'll get a flavored coffee like vanilla macadamia nut, and it's just so good. Hot or cold. But generally, I like a medium roast from Central America, hot or cold, with milk and cream and a handful of sugar. It's also Thesaurus Day, and I have to tell you that I probably use the thesaurus more than any other grammar tool when I am doing work-related stuff. Sometimes you need to say things 3 or 4 times for emphasis, but it has to be a little different each time. Thank you, thesaurus. It is also pecan. I don't know why I can't say this word. Peking Duck Day, which is not a meal that I consume, so please avail yourself of my portion. Friday, July 19th, January 19th is Brittany Herbick's M&M Cookie Day. And I will say that I much prefer M&M cookies to chocolate chip cookies, mostly because I just do not care for semi-sweet chocolate. Plus, I like all the colors. I like the mini milk chocolate M&Ms for baking, especially because they're so cute and colorful and tasty, and they make for a perfect sprinkle if you actually lived in a house that didn't already have 15 pounds of sprinkles. It's Popcorn Day as well, and I would like to lodge a formal complaint and say that popcorn deserves more than one day. This year, I discovered, thanks to our friend Kathy, Garrett's popcorn out of Chicago, and oh my God, that stuff is the stuff. But I also like regular old popcorn too that I pop myself in my Whirly Pop and put a little kosher salt and some butter on it. I like to get specialty but not stunt popcorn from Indiana, just those little tiny kernels that are like blue or red or even like the white ones, but they pop up like super white and super crunchy, but they are not full of hulls. Not a fan of the overly hulled popcorn. That is good popcorn right there. Oh, it's also Gun Appreciation Day and National Fetish Day, right? Right next to each other on the calendar. That's not paradoxical at all, Saturday, the 20th, is National Coffee Break Day, which I guess could also be on the same day as Gourmet Coffee Day. So let's make a note to maybe make this Coffee Week or move those to one day. And it's also Cheese Lovers Day, and I do love me some cheese, so that's a day for me, I guess. And you, if you love cheese. And finally, Sunday is National Hugging Day, which also includes Hug Your Puppy Day, as if you needed a day to do that. Come on, people. Every day you should be hugging your puppy. It's also Squirrel Appreciation Day. And even though our wonderful neighbor Sarah tells us often about how she hunted and ate squirrel while she was growing up in West Virginia, I think I will continue to appreciate them outside and not in a stew. It's also World Snow Day, so let's hope for some snow this week for me. I know many of you are getting snow, and I hope you're going to be fine, but Jen needs some snow. And finally, it is the start of Healthy Weight Week, which frankly is none of anyone's business. And even the doctors are getting with the program and are stopping weighing women unless they ask to be weighed. Okay, this is getting long enough for now, so I will end here and leave you with a few thoughts for the week. One, if you live somewhere where it is bitterly cold this week, please take care of yourself and your neighbors and anyone who may be unhoused. Two, just because the Iowa caucus is this week doesn't mean you have to pay attention to that nonsense. Media is giving outsized coverage to something, giving it air and nourishment, and frankly, anyone from Iowa who says they are quote-unquote undecided is just a fucking turd. I am tuning out all of that until reporters start pushing back in some of these ridiculous diner settings where voters are acting like they're actually aware of the issues facing the country and that they actually care about those issues facing the country. And three, there's going to be someone this week who will doubt your self-worth. Don't let that person be you. Thank you for rating and sharing and talking up the podcast and for joining the Patreon to support this work. Don't forget, I'm collecting dates for the sidecar food calendar that I'm making. I gave Patreons first dibs on dates, but now I'm opening up to you all, so please send me a note in any of the social medias that you know me from or at twochocolatecakes@gmail.com to tell me what date and food, drink, or celebration you want. and I'll see you next week.